meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Jeff Probst is here tonight from Survivor.
Hola.
It is good to see you.
It's good to be here. I listen to you guys every night.
Every night? No.
Pretty damn much. Wow. I love it when you get bad calls and you go, I don't buy it. But if it were true.
Yeah. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
We entertain ourselves that way.
I love The Survivor. I love that show. Drew, you know, you never stop talking about Survivors.
You?
No. Yes.
Yeah, I know. You're dead serious about that. He doesn't give accolades to much of anyone, let alone somebody else on television.
I think you do a great job, Jeff, because Jeff's job is to move the show along, almost be a little bit of a disciplinarian, but not detract from it or distract from it.
Make it a TV show.
What's that?
He has to make it a television show.
Yeah, well, don't overdo it.
No, he does.
I just do that much. But the point is if I was hosting the show, I would be talking about myself
the
whole time.
Of course.
And then saying, this challenge reminds me of a particular play in high school. And there I was, you know, it was third down, and then they would have to edit all that out. But what I'm saying is it's you have to be a strong presence. But the show's not about you.
Yeah, it's not. You're right.
You're sort of the conductor, referee.
You got to have a lot of restraint.
Right.
They are the show.
Well, I noticed last season Johnny Fairplay was getting on Jeff's. he was on his last nerve, as we like to say. And there was some debate in the Jimmy Kimmel writer's office, where me and a couple of the writers are huge fans of the show. Last season, Johnny Fairplay told everyone his grandmother had died and gave a big sob story so that they gave him the reward challenge, and then admitted he lied. Now my buddies in the office were saying, you can tell Jeff wants to kill him, but he has to bite his lip. And I said, I don't know if he knows that it's a lie yet or not. And they said, oh, yeah, he does. And I said, how does he know it's a lie? And so did you know he was lying about his grandmother as soon as he said it, or shortly thereafter?
Shortly thereafter, yeah.
So the next time you saw him, you knew he'd been lying about that.
Yep.
And
you can't say anything.
Can't say anything. You're screwed. There you go. See, yeah. I would have been
all
grandmother
over
stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right. So,
but no, you wouldn't have, because you know when you're out there, when he first said it, I thought, oh, man, what a bummer. You know, and the guy's upset. He is human. And then the challenge ended, and we walked over to call his grandmother to see what we could do. And, you know, basically she answers the phone. So we go, oh, finally we got a guy that's lying. This is great. So as far as I was concerned, he's a Survivor Hall of Famer at that moment.
Right. So do you have more respect for him? Like
you weren't angry with him?
No.
No.
He is a jackass in real life. That guy is just, you know.
Right. So sociopath. As are many of the folks.
Well, now I love this. This is
on the island.
Now I'm interested.
Yeah, no, and when you look at their psych profiles, we don't want the person who is reasonable, who can think through something and come. We want the guy who's got troubles figuring out, and who you know when you find his buttons, he will light up, and and he'll show you where they are sooner or later if you don't find them.
How do you know you have someone's going to hurt themselves or somebody else?
Well, we have a pretty deep medical team. That looks at that, and that's what they tell us. What we do is we go through the casting process. We pick out our, however many we might be interested in, 25, and then they'll come in.
Based on interviews or based?
Yeah, well, when they're here, they come to L.A., they get the psych test, they get the physical tests, they go through an IQ test, and they're all pretty intense. And then they sit with us day after day after day, and we sort of grill them, and we go through, and we're trying to find skeletons and all that stuff. When we finally figure out the 25 we may like, the doctors will come in and look at the cards and say, this guy, no, this woman, no, this one's on the fence. And then it becomes a debate about how close are they to being okay or not okay.
How many of those are there, the not okay?
There's always...
The nearly not okays. Is it always one, or they're half the crew, half the cast?
No, it's usually just a few. But usually in our 25, there are one or two or three.
Are they productive on the show? Do they produce what you want, or are they a problem?
Typically, they don't make it.
They get cut out really quick. They're such a pain in the ass.
Well, no, because the doctors will say the liability.
They don't get on the show.
Yeah,
they'll say
the liability is too high for this person to hurt themselves if they're first off or if they're humiliated.
Right.
Were you fooled or duped by anybody who actually made it onto the show, or even just surprised?
We've been fooled, I think, a lot of times by the category of the hot chick.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so hard to find
Jerry.
Jerry? Oh, she was great. Oh. Jerry's another Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
So she produces in the upcoming season.
Villain. Yeah. Well, I don't know if she's a villain in the upcoming season, but she was a villain
in the original season.
Yeah, in the original.
Well,
yeah.
How do you mean getting
well,
duped by
because
the hot chick
it's hard
category.
To find the 23 or 24 or 22 year old girl who has any life experience to bring to the show.
Right.
Typically they don't.
Sure.
So we're always looking for that, and that is invariably that is the person who on day four vomits,
right,
and then says, "Oh, this is so much harder than I thought.
I
don't have it anymore." And they get voted out, and in the room they're great.
Right.
I can't wait. I'm athletic. I was a track star in high school, and I can be a bitch. Wait till you see how I use my sex appeal, because I'm going to get naked and give massages, and we buy it, and they don't deliver.
Drew gave the exact same speech.
It's so funny.
To get onto this game.
Isn't that a coincidence?
I got like two foot massages and a street style.
You
handy.
Bought it. What am I supposed
and that
to
was
do?
It in 9 years, for Christ's sake.
I love how
I
you guys
vindicated.
Know each other's rhythm. You knew where he was going before he had six words out.
Yeah, he's Kreskin over here. That's why he has to punch a goddamn mic every night when I beg him not to. But thank you for that, Jeff. The 1 year, and I screw up everyone's name, but the hot chicks getting naked has got to be a nice
Jenna
trend.
And Heidi.
Jenna and Heidi getting naked for no apparent reason on those pier pylons had to be one of the highlights of the trip for you. And just in general, the notion of people's freedom of with nudity, except for Hatch, Richard Hatch, who is now...
a character of himself.
So, I mean, you're lucky he wore anything on the plane out there at this stage. And has fashioned himself a sort of breakaway sarong or something. I don't even know what he's wearing.
And by the way, he very quickly established himself to be a colossal, more of an evil person than I ever realized by withholding fire.
Mm.
He's withholding it.
Well, do we know? Okay,
yeah,
so
he
last,
says he can make fire.
Okay. Well, that's the whole thing. See, now last... well, I had a nice laugh with my wife about this when she was explaining how she could make fire. No problem. I was like, you can't handle watering the goddamn pots. You're going to make fire? Please. Making fire.
Oh, we've had 112 survivors. Nobody's made fire yet.
Why doesn't somebody, knowing that they're going to be on the show, study the hell out of that?
Now, they do. A lot of it has to do with the type of wood.
That's available.
Yeah, it's available.
Yeah,
it ain't
so
Boy
they don't
Scouts.
Know. They don't know what's gonna. They're gonna have a.
Well, disposal. And we've had our local guides at each place. In certain places, say nobody's gonna make fire. Mm. They will not make fire out here. We can't make it.
Mm. And then torrential rainstorm hits, and what are you gonna do? But it seems like the chip the flint, the spark, the machete on the rock thing seems like a higher percentage angle than the rubbing the sticks together thing. But oh my God. So Hatch is naked. Last week, I think he just said he could make fire just to sort of get
Richard one. Seems to me to be really insecure this time.
Hmm.
He's been prancing around for 3 years saying, you know, I'm the best that ever played, the greatest game in the world. And now I think he's out there going, I probably am not.
Wow.
And so it seems, you know, you would know more about this than I would. But looking at him, to me, taking his clothes off is his way of just riding, getting ahead of the...
pack. It seems like he's going, but it seems like he's shooting his wad right up front. I'm going to do horrible things with hold fire to get everybody as weakened as possible. I mean, people are going to be angry.
He's just saying that, though. I don't think he can.
I think he thinks he's going home soon.
The guy's wearing a skirt and has stretch marks, which makes him the god of fire. He's Mr. Heat Miser. He's been sucking on a daiquiri at his significant other's flat in Manhattan
code
for the last...
for something, or?
Yes, gay guys aren't good with fire.
Okay. He's gay.
Ironically, with the whole flamer thing. But, all right, this could go on forever, right? I mean, Survivor. I mean,
it could.
Why would it ever run out of steam? I mean, you get a new location, you get a new cast, and how does it lose its momentum? I can't see it. It's just, it's so compelling. And in a world of just every other show's a bad idea in so-called reality TV, this one has an object, whereas the other one's object is sort of public humiliation. It's really just...
This is a game.
People getting drunk and embarrassing themselves. This has a strategy. It really has everything. I really love the show, and I can't see it ever going anywhere, and I'm curious, would you like to be doing it in 20 years?
Boy, 20 years? You know, the only drag of the show is being gone.
Right.
So at a certain point, if I had a family and I could bring them out there and they could travel and you were really still doing it in 20 years.
There's no such family, though. Kids have to go to school.
Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah. They bring tutors, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, who knows? But it's fun to do now, and the reason it's fun is the reasons you just said. It's we sit in there in our creative meetings, and we're designing conflict. We're designing situations to take normal people and put them in very stressful situations to see how they react. That is endlessly entertaining.
Yeah, it's great. I used to, not on the same level, but when we would... during the Man Show, we'd do the Wheel of Destiny, and we'd sit around and think of the bad things for people to do. Never a prouder moment than me thinking of drinking a schooner of sea monkeys. You know, I really, and actually, me peeing on a guy's wallet.
I thought that was your number one. Because you actually got to do that one.
Well, the guy's wallet had a pilot's license in it and pictures of his nieces and nephews, which I thought was good. Very, very simple. And got a lot of praise for being able to urinate on stage that way back to the audience. But it was amazing. I don't like to talk about myself or brag about my ability to urinate. But, hundred episodes of The Man Show, really the most praise ever got was, dude, how did you take a leak on stage? It's like I had to take a leak. And evidently, there's a bigger problem with this than I was aware of.
Oh, yeah. The stage fright?
Yeah. Guys have difficulty doing it in the trough at Dodger Stadium, much less in front of a couple hundred people. So my proudest moment. But, yeah, it is exciting to sit around, and those challenges are getting more elaborate and more amazing. And here's another argument I have with my wife. I keep telling her, whenever you demonstrate the challenge, you have this sort of... headless person that is actually clawing through. I say, that's my job. That's what I want to do. This is my calling. I would like to be that guy. You know, and she always goes, no, that's just footage from the actual event. And I go, no, it's not. That's not footage from the event. And I sort of talked her into it, but I also talked her into that this is a gig, that this guy's probably getting some kind of after scale or something like that, and I could easily be this guy.
You know what the fun gig is?
I'm an everyman with my shirt off. You know,
put a red shirt on and you're the red shirt guy.
Yeah, I'm just saying they have the guy who climbs the rope ladder and who swings across the thing and who swims, and they never show his face.
But there's a better job.
Be me.
There's a better job. It's called the Dream Team. And we hire 16 kids that are like 18 to maybe 21, 22, 25, and all they do is practice the challenges. That's all they do.
See if it's feasible.
Yeah. Or see how they can break it, or see if there's a rule that we didn't think about that they can go through.
Interesting.
And that's all they do, and it becomes this little group of partiers that have their own little fraternity
sorority
thing.
Is it the same guys?
No, we bring some back, and then we hire a lot of locals. But it's the best job in the world if you're 21.
Yeah.
You're getting paid a little bit of money, and you go out and play hard in the mud every day, and then you drink in the bar every night.
Wow. Yeah, because you do watch... There's no way to figure these challenges out without actually having people compete and do them.
Oh,
because
right.
Some things are just, some things sound like, well, how are they going to tie those sticks together and get the key 20 feet away? So if it's impossible, the thing's ruined. And if they figure out a way around it, the thing is ruined. But I want a little camera time, so I'm thinking I do want to be the test guy.
Right. Well, then that's a better job for you.
All right.
Now that we are going to calls, first five callers tonight that are over 18 will get the Animal Uncut Special Edition DVD. We're still handing that out to
Ironically. Starring Colleen Haskell
from
Survivor.
Ironically enough, and Rob Schneider, absolutely.
That's right.
I think I asked Rob why she wasn't back for the
All-Star lineup.
She didn't want to do it.
She wanted to do it. Huh.
She had enough.
Who really had enough and who really got their fire lit by it? I mean, who did you approach to come back?
Only two people. Colleen, and she's working in production.
Right.
And Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who's on The View.
Right.
That was it. Everybody else wanted to do it. And quite a few people are very irritated that they weren't a part of it.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
And they take it personally. You know, there's only 18 slots.
Well, and also, stop me if I'm wrong, but when you're assembling the group, you can't have 10 of the most dynamic characters, you need a couple passive ones and a couple passive aggressive ones, and age-wise and sex-wise. You have to sort of, you need a football team that's not all going to be quarterbacks.
You cast it the same way you cast a normal season.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's hard for them to get because they all think they think this means now they're not an all-star, which now is a whole nother psychology level of being excluded.
Let me talk to Drew for a second.
Yeah. Sidebar.
It's clear that Jeff hates all the contestants of the show.
I didn't want to mention it anyway. It's clear.
I like it when I watch it. He has as much disdain for them as we do for the callers of this
it's
show.
True.
Drew.
It's the exact same relationship.
Marginally less.
He doesn't hate them. He just thinks they're less than.
No, that is not true. No.
Quiet. He heard you on that.
I'm sorry.
I heard you on that. I don't think they're less than, but it is a weird relationship.
Yeah.
I'm curious what happens to people after reality TV, because I did commentary for Big Brother 1, and some of those people were destroyed by that experience.
Tag them like caribou and follow their migration?
There must be
gone.
Some follow. Well, you guys are back in touch with some of these people.
Yeah, I think they get. I think it's probably a pretty weird experience to go from relative obscurity to being on a big hit television show.
But they're known, but they have no talent. And so there's nothing they can really do to capitalize on except
be the
guy from Survivor.
I don't think most people see it that way. You know, I think they look at it and say, everyone knows my talents, that I'm funny and that I'm charming.
Because we've had several of them on this show. And here's basically how they do the show.
Oh, true. Untrue.
So, you remember Wigglesworth? And she sat back and watched the show.
Yeah.
And Jerry was involved.
Well, Jerry and I got in a little argument because I told her she had this Playboy thing going around. Well, first off, she did this crap, which always drives me nuts, which is, you know, I want to know how much money they pay you for something. And she's like, it's never about the money. For some reason, it's never about the money with the women, as if that would make them a prostitute. It's as if this makes us a prostitute because we won't do this for free. But it's never about the money. But then I always say, okay, so if they didn't pay any money, would you do it? And it's like, well, no way. Of course not.
Right.
And if, as a matter of fact, they paid you half the money, you wouldn't do it. So, of course, money is a great concern. And then secondly, I said to her, don't you kind of have to strike while the iron is hot? I mean, you're coming off of The Survivor. Your name is on the tip of everyone's tongue. But 9 months from now, when the next season comes out, you may fade a little bit, and that price may go down.
Oh, my goodness.
Her thing was like,
how dare you?
She was confused. She's like, what do you mean? I'm a celebrity.
I'm a great actress.
I'm like, yeah, I know you're a celebrity because you're on Survivor, and you did well, and people know who you are. But a year from now, I'm telling you, Playboy's going to not offer you as much. And she said, well, I was doing this a long time before Survivor.
Well, and in Jerry's situation, she has been an actor for a long time.
I know, but Playboy wouldn't have paid her $50 before Survivor.
In fairness to them, it's easier when you guys have been in this business a long time. You kind of understand how it works. I think when you're that person and suddenly you are on the cover of Entertainment Weekly and you're on this show and you're on The View, you think you have arrived. And why would it ever change? They've now seen my talents. I'll probably get a sitcom and maybe I'll do some speaking.
That's actually what I was asking.
That's a good point, though, Drew. Like, for you, you know, you've clawed your way up from the bottom to the
middle bottom.
Lower bottom.
Middle bottom.
Middle. But lower part of the middle.
Yeah.
Lower middle.
Yeah, middle bottom. That's what I said. Middle bottom.
Well, if there's a ladder had 10 rungs.
Two.
No, you'd be like going toward the fourth,
okay,
but closer to the third.
Okay.
So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what it's like to be on the first one.
Right.
You know what it's like to look down that 34, 35 inches and see where you used to be. You know what I mean? They don't have that. They just pow. Someone threw them up on the ninth
But that is my point.
It's a fast free fall.
When they fall, though, how does that affect them? When the reality starts to – when they don't have the talent they think they have or doesn't respond right – you know what I mean? They may have talents, but –
Well, what I kind of noticed, and I really don't think they're less than at all. I wouldn't do that show myself, but they're different. They're definitely a different breed that wants to do that. But what we did notice is once we had cast the All-Star season, the people that we didn't cast suddenly, I think, had this attitude of, well, you know what? There's nothing left for me on Survivor now. So if there's any vindictive bones in my body, now's the time to let loose with it. And that I noticed that in some people where I felt like their attitude went, really? Okay. Well, you know what? I'm not part of the Survivor family anymore. So, and I think that's in response to feeling left out.
Right.
We give it this name called the All-Stars, meaning you're the best and the other people aren't, which is not really the truth, but that's how it plays out. And I'm sure it hurts your feelings. It's feeling left out.
Well, what do we have? We could take calls.
What's the show about?
Don't worry about it.
Survivor.
Tonight, Survivor.
I got a lot of other Survivor questions, but I'm gonna weave them in seamlessly throughout the show.
Nice. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
several of the calls have dropped off.
I am serious about that. Test body thing. You know that gig where I actually test
Come out.
The stunts. Yeah. Kayla.
Hello.
You're 14.
Yeah.
You want to date a guy, but friends say not to because he does drugs?
Yeah.
What kind of drugs?
All I know is that he smokes weed.
How old is he?
He's 14.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that you like about him?
He's really cool and nice, but, like, my friends say that he'll end up being like my dad because my dad used to do drugs.
Magically, that's the case.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And where's your dad now?
Him and my brother live in Florida.
How long has he been gone?
About 4 or 5 months, I think.
So he just left?
Yeah.
So that's got to be tough.
And that's it? He's there permanently?
Yeah. He wants me and my mom to move out there, so we might moving in May.
He's not divorced from your mom?
They were thinking about it, but I don't think they're going to.
They're trying to work it out.
How much of that stuff do you have to discuss with your kids? Kids, why don't you come in? Your mom and I are kicking around the idea of getting a divorce. We're not sure yet. We'll tell you when we pull the trigger. All right, head back to your rooms now.
Yeah, thanks.
Really?
Your thoughts?
You got to know that?
No.
All right.
Just curious why they've separated and the brother went with the dad. And in any event, naturally enough, it's going to be a painful time for you, Kaylin. You're going to be looking for people to sort of fill that void left behind by dad. This 14-year-old, you can certainly date anybody you want, but he may not be everything you think he is, and he indeed may be just like your dad. We would predict that's exactly what you'd be attracted to.
All right.
Okay.
So here's what you should probably do.
Cool your jets.
Why don't you lie low a little bit in the dating department until things get sorted out on the home front?
Yeah.
The other thing you don't want to do is get hooked up with a guy that you actually have a relationship with. She's calling from New Mexico.
Then she ends up leaving.
She falls in love.
Yeah.
And then goes to Florida.
Right.
Now she's got to try to get a ride like my Catholic little brother wanted me to drive him to Kentucky so we could talk to some chick you met on the internet like 10 years ago. It's a disaster. This internet, by the way, is going to destroy everything. And everyone's going to be driving all over the place and running their phone bills up. So lay low until you get to Florida.
Speaking of Florida.
Ooh, we have a Germany or Florida. Joe?
Hey, Adam.
What's happening?
Joe. Hey, you rock.
Thanks,
Adam. Survivor
Joe.
Does, too.
It certainly does.
Yeah, wow. They should got Elizabeth back on.
We tried.
Yeah, she's hot. But anyway, my Germany or Florida is...
Hold on a second. You know what I keep thinking of on that show? First off, I just think how much my beard would start scratching. Second thing I think of, I would be walking around with a big white head on my forehead for like 28 days. There's no mirrors. They can't check themselves. How do they do that?
That's true.
I would bring a monkey to groom me.
Is there
sit on my shoulder and pick
they just
stuff.
Let it be, yeah.
Doesn't anyone get a zit on that island?
Every so often. Well, you know, you are out in the sun. A lot of people's skin actually clears up.
Because
you're in the sun and you're in the water. And
it's just all the salt water in the sun. Drew, I would make a pact. I would be like, look, if you see a big zit on my back or on my forehead, you got to get it, man.
Oh, Adam, they get to where they're in the Pearl Islands. They were popping. Rupert had these sores with pus in them. And they would make little connect the dot maps on his bodies. And the girls would pop his. They get so close and so nutty. They're popping. Ooh, look at that one. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Chicks,
I tell you, you want to know would be a great business? Charging women to pop zits on guys' backs. For a group that is normally skittish and freaks out if you leave a little number one in the toilet for them when they come home from work, they love, let me get that. What? Let me get that.
Why is that?
Yeah, and then they're like, it's ready
to
go.
What does this look like?
It's ready to go. They're like little
primates.
They're primates. Here's what I'm saying. I swear to Christ, wow, we could charge women money if I could find a guy
grooming
just produce.
Grooming is in them. The private grooming.
It'd be $5 for a blackhead, $10 for a nice size zit, and like $25 for a carbuncle. It's something needs some lancing, you know. Oh. And then just charge women. And here's the thing about women: you just have to show it to them. You'd go, oh, come on, get out of here. I'm not going to pay. Dave, pull your shirt up.
Okay.
Their hands start shaking. They start going for their wallet. It'd be awesome. All right. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Jeff Probst is here tonight from Survivor. I don't even have to look at the paper to tell everyone it's Thursday nights at 8 o'clock on CBS. All Stars coming up this. We got started. First one, after Super Bowl. Yeah, so right in the beginning. You got to watch. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeff Probst is here tonight from Survivor, my favorite show, 8 o'clock on CBS, Thursday nights. Got the big All-Star one coming up this whole season.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a couple of quick things.
And the stuff Jeff has been saying is just titillates. It's like, I got to watch this season.
Yeah, there is some wacky. There's drama. There is stuff that's off the charts. I don't know what you would call it. And then there's this love affair that develops.
Ooh.
It's actually kind of nice.
Oh, let me see. Where's that piece of paper? Because I think I could figure out who this is from or who's having a love affair. First, a suggestion. Whenever they get the tribes together, they merge and they have to come up with a name, and it's like Shimbabo and all right. This stuff. Couldn't one just call themselves Turbo Max or something cool? You know what I mean? Something American and cool.
They always take elements. They will have figured out words from the environment around there, and they'll want to use them.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, to me, it's like the white guy with the tribal tattoo. Who are you posers kidding? You're half of you from Milwaukee, the other half are from Idaho. You pick something good that sounds like an engine additive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Boo, something that's got turbo. Ooh, I'd go with something that had stealth in it.
Ooh, stealth, of course.
Ninja stealths.
Yeah.
Or something, you know what I mean? Something that evoked jiu-jitsu and high octane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Let me think who's having this affair. I think it's Rob and Amber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah, because Rob, and by the way, Rob's one of these Bostonian guys. Who, Drew, you never told me that everyone from Boston was an asshole.
Oh, he's great.
He's great.
Like that.
No, he's great, but every guy from Boston has a sort of slick sense of humor, and they're kind of snide, and they're sharp tongue. You never want to argue with anyone from Boston, because it'll quickly devolve into something. I'll get called Brillo Head in just a matter of moments. Drew, you'll go to Four Eyes. It doesn't matter what you're arguing about.
It's true.
They're brutal. They're verbally brutal people. They really
tough,
are.
Tough people. Are
and
pretty.
For people, even the blue collar guys from Boston with a zero education.
Oh, they're good.
Still, they're the best. Kick
quick
your
tongue,
ass
yeah.
in a quick verbal tussle.
Totally. Boston Rob can bring it all day.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. What do they do? Just sit home and like have some Berlitz for A-holes tape that they just listen to in their truck on the way to work?
Well, and there's
morning?
Something also about their rhythms that, you know, he said something in the first episode about nobody trusts anybody. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Right.
Nobody trusts, and you're laughing.
I know. I got it. That's it.
So it's Amber and Boston Rob.
Yeah. Well, I know that I remember Boston Rob in the first episode was talking about Amber and saying that he was into let's see. Yeah. It's Amber Boston. Are we right?
Yeah. No, you're right that he said that. In fact, he said something really touching. He said, I picked her for an alliance. Well, for one reason, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
Any idiot could see that.
Yeah. It was really, there was something very sort of blue collar, mm-hmm. yet sincere, like so sincere about it. Not an ounce of sort of slick, suave
Could
player
be Jenna and somebody.
At all. Yeah. Well, it's Jenna and everyone, I think. But, yeah. Oh, and they got your Coleman. Yeah. What time? We could get some good matching going on here.
But Ethan and Jerry.
All right. Drew, come on. Focus now. The other thing. Oh, one other quick question. You know, they advertise those buffs,
right?
First off, I never knew what a buff. I would have called that a bandana.
Yeah.
Is a bandana you put on your head become a buff?
Well, it's a little different just the way it's made, but also I think just trying to make language vernacular.
It's almost like how bread becomes toast once it's put in the toaster. You know, once you put this thing on your head, it's a buff. And they plug them all the time. Yeah. I don't know what they're raising the money for. I don't know how much they charge. They're always like, get your official Tumbapu buff. Or seen here, worn by. And I'm always thinking to myself, really? This is the big push? You guys are moving?
Do you know what? They sell more buffs than they sell of any other item on any other show on CBS.
Huh. Really?
The buff. That's what everybody wants. Probst, can you get me a buff?
Really?
Yeah.
Can't believe they moved better than those Wings coffee mugs they had left over. Is that CBS? The point is I know I must, you know, billions of people watch the show. They hammer home those buffs. Yeah. And by the way, come up with a higher dollar ticket item, like a dinette set or something, you know, the buff. And I've never seen, and I know this is going to sound horrible, and I'm sure they move billions of them, never seen somebody with a buff on the street.
Yeah.
So what are they doing with them?
Probably taking them to their, probably wearing them at home when they're watching Survivor.
I have an idea what they're doing with them, Jeff.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are we going to get a call about it?
It may come up. Drew, you know how
you would do with it.
Yeah, you know how I invented that
hamper.
Bib?
Yeah,
bib?
The bib, yeah.
Yeah. Chris, a special bib? Chris?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes, and I was calling in reference to your comment about zip-popping and money-making.
I'm telling you, I could sell a bad back to a guy, to a group of women, and make hundreds of dollars.
Mom used to, it was $20 a pop.
Wow.
For you?
I know, great. It supported me all throughout high school.
Yeah. I don't want to burst your bubble, Chris. She wasn't talking about popping zits. Your mother was a whore.
Shoot.
No, she actually got paid for the pops. Chris did. Mother paid Chris.
To pop my zits.
Your mother paid you to pop your zits.
So that she could pop my zits, exactly what you were talking about.
And 20 bucks per zit?
20 bucks per zit.
Not per sitting, but per zit.
Per zit.
Face zit or back zit?
Back.
Back. Well, because chicks don't normally get the back zit.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, man, you should go with it. Make all the money that you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me just, for the record, say that's not the right way to deal with that.
I'm going to open
There are better therapeutic ways.
Here's what I do. I put the ad out for guys with bad skin, and I charge them for beautiful women.
Because it's sort of fetish.
Okay, now I got three sources of income. The guys who pay to actually have their back worked on, they pay a price. The women who actually pay to work on the back, and then the videos I move.
Nice.
Because it's weird to the Asian market. Yeah. So the guys, because they're weird over there, and they could really get into this. I mean, if you could beat off to someone stepping on a cockroach, you certainly could have some fun to this.
Yes,
right.
In response to zip popping.
Exactly right, Jeff. You're thinking like an entrepreneur. That's what I like about it.
And you could send a Survivor buff off with it. They can wear Survivor buffs.
That's right.
You could buff off while you're watching this.
Get your Survivor buff, as seen here, worn by the actual... Yeah, no ass. No, they're wearing the buff. All right. Joe?
Oh, hi.
You're...
My Germany or Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Germany or Florida. This is a game we play. All bizarre news stories emanate from either Germany or Florida. He says the story, we guess. Go ahead.
All right. An 81-year-old blind man heard a bump in the night, pawed around for his .45 caliber revolver he kept under his bed for protection, and shot his wife. Donald Kenstorm won't be charged with the death of Mary Kenstorm, 79, because the shooting was obviously an accident, says police.
All right, hold on a second.
Florida.
I'm going Florida info. Because of the caliber. He would have had a 9mm or something if it's in Germany.
Right.
45's a...
Well, that's how we solved this.
Stuff moves around, though.
Yeah.
You never know. But you shouldn't say the guy's name.
Yeah.
But when you paw around on your bed for a gun, that's Florida.
Yeah.
We're going Florida, Joe.
It's Florida. It's Germany.
Really? Wow.
Son of a bitch.
How dare you?
Donald? I guess it could be German. All right, Joe. Well, we're going to send you out a Loveline buff.
And an animal
DVD.
It's
a napkin. True white one.
So line or what?
Yeah, line, Joe.
Wait a minute. Don't you have to be over 18 to win this thing?
Oh, that's right. He's not over 18.
Sorry, buddy. When are you going to be 18? When's your birthday?
In like 2 months.
2 months. Can you stay on hold for 2 months?
Or maybe just put your mom on the line.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Hold on, Drew. What, you think he can just put his mom on the line?
I don't know. Why not? And?
Yeah, I think it works.
Consult the rule book. She says yes.
Really? All right. To everyone who says why not, I would answer with why. If you really think about it. All right. We need a buff, Ann. Write that down. Getting tired of those cheap windbreakers. Let's talk to Danielle, who's 18. Danielle?
Yeah. Hi, Adam.
Hi. What's happening?
I got kind of a bad situation here. I'm 18, and I was with a 26-year-old for a year, and he ended up being abusive. And so I left him just about 2-3 weeks ago, and then I found out I was pregnant. So, and me being so young and all, and I, you know, I still want to go to college and have a future and stuff. So I was,
What kind of abusive was this guy?
It was really, it was weird because at first it was just he'd flip out on me and like scream at me and call me bad names when he was drunk. And after that, it got to where he'd just flip out on me when he was
all the time.
Where's
was
my maybe,
was well, he possibly doing other drugs besides alcohol?
Well, marijuana, but we after the, you know, the alcohol, I just said, you know, I don't want either of that in the relationship anymore, so we both stopped.
And that's when he got more abusive?
Yeah, and it was interesting. It was like, well, what happened is when I left, it was like over a stupid like video game or something, and he started freaking out.
All right, we got it. So you left him, and what do you want to do with this pregnancy?
Well, I was going to have an abortion, and my question is, is there a chance that I won't be able to have kids again? You know,
there's always a chance. There's always a chance with abortions. Obviously, it's a surgical procedure, but it's very, very unlikely, very remote that it would affect significantly your fertility. Though, with each abortion, there is obviously added risk.
Yeah, but isn't that just sort of a punitive damage done by God? You know, not actual physical stuff, just God punishing you
for having had an abortion.
Yeah,
I guess you could look at it that way.
That's what I look at.
I figured you did.
Even though I'm an atheist, I pick and choose my God moment.
I see.
That's one of my God moments.
I see.
I can do whatever I want. There's a God of women, not of me. That's what I'm thinking.
So is she looking? Are you looking for permission?
No, it's not necessarily. Well, because I already told my father about it, and
how'd that go?
He's the one. Well, he was upset, but he was very supportive.
Her thing is she's worried about affecting her fertility with the procedure. No, really unlikely.
No, but Drew, give her the speech about keep in mind there's you know emotional repercussions.
Yeah, that is an important point that women are not taught or educated about the fact that even early in the pregnancy, when you go through an abortion, not only is there a sense of guilt and loss, but there's a biological reaction that is profound in most women, where they feel that going from a pregnant state to a non-pregnant state is a huge letdown. And even in my estimation, women describe a feeling of having lost something. Even though they may have had no philosophical problems with abortion, all of a sudden they felt like they were attached to something which is gone. And be prepared for that. The women are not taught about that. And there also is, remember, don't forget adoption. That's always out there as an option. That's a very heroic way to proceed. Okay?
All right, Danielle.
All right,
listen, no more of these guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm
good.
Done with guys.
There we go. Yeah. Well, not done with guys. Cause it's,
not completely, just for now.
Just a-hole older guys, okay? Stay with the boring, nice guys.
Right. Okay.
All right.
The guys you're not attracted to.
Right.
Hey, what about that, the morning after pill?
Yeah, it's the greatest thing.
Is it? Is it?
Well, not RU-486. That's an abortion pill. But emergency contraception prevents ovulation. It's not an abortion pill. It works exactly the same way that birth control normally works. You just take it after sex opposed to before.
Yeah.
There's all this ridiculous confusion about it. It's about to go over the counter. There's been something like 50 million uses of it worldwide. Never been a single adverse effect. None.
What's the time period?
You actually have up to 5 days, but it's best in the first. You have about 90% coverage in the first 24 hours, about 80 in the second 24, and about 70 overall over 3 days.
Drew, and I'd like to just start saying 3 days because you normally say 72 hours, and I know we have a fair amount of listeners that think there's 100 hours in a day.
So it's 3 days, 3 days coverage. And it's because the sperm waits for an egg to be released for 3 days. And if you give enough hormone to prevent the egg from coming out, that whole risk goes away.
It's
great.
Yeah, it's great. It would do away with most of the unwanted pregnancies and lots of the abortions in this country. Because there's a theoretical possibility that it may affect implantation of a fertilized egg, There's also a theoretical possibility of certain anti-inflammatories doing that, and the birth control pill taken before ovulation. Theoretical. Is that why we should eliminate this product? No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Hmm. Nitromax would be another good name for
I like that.
I'm not like, it has to have an exotic flavor to it.
No, that's too drag strip.
It's too drag strip.
Now, here's what I'd like to do as a country. You know, like we're so enamored with other cultures when all we do is bomb them and beat them up, you know. I mean, I think it's a form of compensation. It's like beat the crap out of the Indians, then name all the SUVs after them in the mountain ranges, you know. It's definitely compensation. Let's just start, you know, throw all the Mexicans out of California and then every street is a Sepulveda and Los Feliz. You know, just name everything after them. It's like, hey, we'll kick your ass. We'll give you some disease blankets. We'll toss you into a reservation. We'll starve you out and kill you. But don't worry. We'll name a mountain range after you. I just say, like, as we do, like with the panda bears, you know, they're always Ling Ling or Ching Chang or Ding Dang or Wing Wang or something. We're renting them, for Christ's sake. Let's start naming them Stu and Bill, Steve-O. You know what I mean?
Who are we kidding?
Big Ted.
Who are we kidding?
Yeah, who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? And by the way, if we're going to spend all this money leasing animals and stuff, we should be able to name them what we want to name them. And yeah. Believe me, other countries aren't naming their crap after us. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
There's no Jeff. There's no Jeff Panda Bear over in China. I'll tell you that right now. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
And these tribes that go with good old American names. That's the new thing. Straight, just in cool names, too. And ones I can remember, because
cool
I can't
names.
Remember the Shambawamba Ding Dang tribe and all that.
I love these rants.
All right. Well, oh, there's more. I'm getting warmed up now. Jeff Probst is here from Survivor Thursday night. We shouldn't even plug this show. It gets enough. It's enough.
Enough already.
Yeah. Watch this. I'll use some reverse psychology. Jeff has begged me to ask you not to watch Survivor this week because it's too compelling, and many of you wouldn't be able to handle it emotionally. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeff Probst is here tonight from Survivor, obviously. Thursday nights, CBS, 8 o'clock at the All-Star Series. And let me just say this. First five callers to get on the air tonight are going to get a new uncut special DVD starring Rob Schneider of The Animal. Which
And Colleen.
Oh, and Colleen, that's right.
Of Survivor.
That's the connection. So you call up, you're over 18, you get on the air, we give you one. Yes?
Yes.
And if, like I said, I think technically you can stay on hold until you turn 18 or put your mom on. Drew's decided that if you put your mom on, it's cool.
You're good, then we're giving it to her.
Yeah. And like, so it's like buying beer. Like I could send my dad in a liquor store when I was 14, and he could buy me a sixer, right?
That's how it works, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk to Nicole, who's 18. Nicole?
Hi.
What's happening?
I know most girls can't have orgasms when they're having sex, but I can feel myself start to climax, but I start shaking and I start, like, crying, and
yeah.
I just want to know what's going on.
Hmm.
Are you able to have orgasm by any other way?
I haven't tried.
Yeah. Why do you think you start crying?
I don't know. I think it's just more the fact that I'm shaking what makes me cry, but...
You mean you're scared?
Well, I don't know if I'm scared, but I start bawling, literally, and it's kind of pissing me off because I make the guy feel bad.
Yeah.
Why did you try other ways of reaching climax other than intercourse?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. sounds very committed. Uh-huh.
You can use a Survivor buff for a dental dam. Did you know that, Trevor?
That's remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how about
you can use it for a lot of things.
Yeah,
I'm going to get the Trojan people to have condom sort of...
Buff. Yeah.
No, with the Survivor logo on the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
That's strong.
Yeah.
Nicole?
Yeah.
All right, is there anything we need to know about? Were you sexually abused or physically abused?
By my mom, I've been physically and mentally abused.
All right, so it sounds like when you're sort of reaching that point of intimacy or sort of losing yourself in those moments with somebody you feel close to, it becomes a little overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So... Maybe take it slower, take doses of it you can tolerate better, maybe not during intercourse.
Well, yeah, how's oral sex do for you?
It's okay. I mean, I've never been able to have an orgasm during oral sex, but I've never really started to climax either.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
What I mean by that is, like, when I'm having sex, I can feel myself starting, you know, to tense up, and it's pleasurable, but then when it just gets too much, I just, like, break down.
All right. You're all up in your head.
Yeah.
You got to take a chill pill. Okay. How about some wine coolers 18. Or something?
18.
Okay, then weed.
I have a quick another question. My friend, she always gets, her mouth gets really dry every time she has sex, and I just want to know if she can do anything for that.
Chill pill. Stop breathing through her mouth.
Stop breathing through her mouth?
Breathe through her nose.
Yeah. Get one of those Breathe Right strips. They're making a new one for BJ's now. That's an item. That's my money maker.
With the Survivor
right
logo across the top.
Survivor logo.
Anything with Survivor logo right now. Let's
strips.
Get in
BJ
on.
Strips.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, first off, it'd be a commercial. You would not be fast-forwarding and TiVoing through that commercial.
No,
you,
I
you know what I mean?
Not.
That'd be one you'd be watching. Yeah. Tired of this? you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, I would really, this could be good because oral sex, you know, obviously you got to use the nasal passage and you got to keep that moving, right? And they have like an industrial one for prostitutes. You know what I mean?
Mm, yeah, I'm listening.
We could get like the Hilton sisters or something to possibly endorse it. There's many celebrities we could directions we could go with this. All right, Nicole's up in her head. She's all freaked out. She's like going in with she has conditions and she's like, I'm getting this way. You got to relax a little bit.
Especially when that orgasm or whatever she was calling it is starting to get there. That's when you really want to just back it off.
Yeah, I think she's
little.
Overwhelmed. It's just too painful to be open and vulnerable.
Right. All right, take a quick break. Jeff Probst here tonight from Survivor, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeff Probst is here tonight from Survivor, and we're delighted. I do love that Survivor. I do the Survivor dance at the beginning in front of the TV.
I have to see this.
Yeah. Now, I established it with my wife, and now I have to do it.
Every Thursday. Is Thursday night?
Yeah, I got to do it. And here's the problem, too. I ran out of steam last week because...
Because it was after the Super Bowl.
Well, not only that, yeah, I was drunk. I had been bloated on chicken wings. I jumped up, you know, as soon as I... Yo, hey, yo, I pop up, right? At the beginning, I start to dance. I think the beginning seemed longer than it ever had been because it was the All-Star
one.
Got
18.
It was the first one, and they have 18 people. I'm used to three or four people, and it was 25, 30 minutes, as I recall.
This was after the Super Bowl. You were still thinking about Janet Jackson.
I was up. I was doing the dance, and then after like minute 26, I was clutching my side, and my wife was yelling, "You got to keep going. You know, you got to make it through the dance."
And you were yelling, "Oi, oi!
When is this goddamn show going to end? When is the like?" Forget about the opening. It's got to be over by now. Yeah, but instead, all 18 contestants, and what they've been doing, and you got to factor that in. There are a lot of people
who do
the Survivor dance, and they don't need a 26-minute opening. All right,
is that
true.
Ever good foreplay, that dance?
Yeah. It's nice. Yeah,
before you masturbate.
You become like an animal.
Basically, it's what he does before he has
it's
himself.
It's the way birds do things, I think. Yeah, it's great. It's a slick move. All right, yeah, watch it, and then we come here.
Yeah. You watch it, beat off, then you come here.
No, I don't. Sometimes I beat off on the way here.
Oh, okay. I knew there was something in between.
Oh, okay.
I driving where you did that. You have to tell us that.
Right.
That's disgusting.
Michael?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
26, what's up?
All right, well, I've been married for about 3 years. I got one child, and I met this girl at my work. She just started working with us, and she's also married, and she has a child also. Mm-hmm. Just recently, we just started getting attracted to each other, and we started messing around the office, things like that.
Stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stop. Don't even put yourself in situations where it could go further. God forbid it already has. But you are... Listen, you're damaging the health and well-being of your wife, your child, her husband, and her child. Does that feel good? Is that something you want to do?
No.
No.
Well, what do you mean screwing around the office? How does that work?
Well, you know, if there's nobody's around, there's like, you know, an empty office.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing there alone?
That's what we do. We just work alone. And, you know, she's like 20 years old. And, man, it's you know, it's exciting. It's, you know.
Wait a minute. How old is she?
You get the blood pumping. She's 20.
Yeah. 20.
Wait, are you having sex with her in the office?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
What are you doing? Just making out?
No, a little more than that.
Uh-oh.
Oral sex?
Something like that.
Tell
okay.
us.
Okay,
yes. What?
Yeah.
Let me think.
Let's
something
flip over all the cards. Arlene Francis has a guess. Okay.
Something like that.
Look, do you... First off, what kind of work is this that you two just sit alone, unsupervised?
Oh, man. Together? I don't want to say we're there, but we just run an office and things like that.
Yeah. I'm picturing more of a, one of those trailers that, with the blocks.
Nah, nothing like that.
Okay. All right.
So you think just stop everything?
Yeah. What do you think we'd say, Michael?
It's not going to...
Yeah, I think you would say just keep it on the down low.
No, you're damaging your child. You're damaging her child. You've relinquished the option of screwing around when you have a kid. That's it. It's over. You've now lived out your days as an F off. Now you've got to be a dad.
How many kids do you have?
I have one.
All right. And you should use some protection so you don't have two.
Right.
Okay, buddy.
Hey, so, look, use protection. All right, I got that. Use protection.
Yeah.
No, not with the...
who cares? Look, who cares? Listen, everybody. Ultimately, you're all worried about not getting caught from the hell that you're creating called a life. Don't worry. You're right smack dab in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. Believe you me. Do all the cheating you want. Crank out all the kids you want. Get away from all the... get away from your kids. Move to Florida. Do whatever the hell you want. Believe me, you're taking you with you.
Yep.
I just love this notion that I'm getting away from something. You're your only witness. I mean, if you never get caught by anyone ever, the worst person on the planet knows what you're doing, and that's you.
Yeah, you got to go to bed with yourself.
I already did that.
Yeah, no.
No. Actually, sleep. Not abuse yourself.
Well, what's the buff for? Yes.
Wiping.
Yes, Jeff is right.
Buffing.
You know, this sort of concept that... well, don't worry. I can go in and say some Hail Marys and God will forgive me. Or as long as my wife never finds out or my coworkers or my kid will never know. As though this sort of no one will ever know kind of thing. What do you mean no one? You know.
Yeah,
you're that person now.
But you got to remember that they consider that a triumph. I got away with it. And not only that, when really push comes to shove, they don't care.
Right.
And that's a hideous reflection of people. And they don't care. They do sleep fine at night, and that's the awful part about it. And the people that are suffering is everyone else in their life.
Yeah. Well, not only them, but what about us as a society who has to deal with these jack-offs kids? These crappy dads everywhere.
There's something messed up about the fact that it doesn't feel as good to be a man and say, you know what, I'm attracted to you, but I'm already married and I have a child, and that doesn't pay off. What's fun is to sneak around in the office and get a little and then go, I'm a hot guy and she's a hot girl.
Right.
When the real thing to do is to stand up and say, go back to your wife and, you know.
Yeah, so substance has been completely relinquished for gratification.
Right. It's like in lieu of doing 50 push-ups and not having anyone find out, you'd rather just convince people around you that you did 50 push-ups. This is a weird way to go through life.
And then feel triumphant when you've succeeded.
Yeah, you don't get the benefits of the exercise. You've just convinced those around you that you just peeled off 50 push-ups.
Minute you start that lie, it is a slippery slope.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't know how you're going to stop screwing around with someone you're screwing around with when you have like your IQs in the 80s and you guys are left together alone,
you can't be
at the impound lot.
That's part of the problem. But it's like drug addicts who say, I couldn't help myself. They lit up right in front of me. It's like you should never get yourself in the. You made 10 bad choices that put you in that room with the people with the crack pipe. Have made those choices.
Charles?
Yeah.
You're 25.
Oh, hey.
Hey, what's happening?
Sorry to bother you, Charles.
I'm doing good. This is I wanted to say, Adam, you're great. I used to record episodes of The Man Show and keep them as, a collection. And Drew, you're awesome too. And I wanted to buy your book eventually and read it. And Jeff, Survivor is a really good show also.
Thanks. Have you bought one of the buffs, Charles?
Not yet. I will, though.
Please do. You're like you're eight behind, by the way.
I think I ought to start including a buff with my book. Buff and a book.
My question is that the last couple of nights I've heard you guys talk about kind of the older guys who've dated the younger girls, and I'm 8 years sober from alcohol, and I recently started corresponding with a girl who was 18, and what happened was is I ended up moving out to her state to live with her, and she ended up ditching me in her state and taking off. And she comes from a very controlling and domineering family. And I was wondering, my question is that I tried everything I could do to be a good boyfriend to this girl and help out this girl, and I held down two different full-time jobs and supported her. And I'm wondering if, I'm sorry, I'm kind of nervous. Was I just scammed here?
Yeah. Or well, first of all, you showed incredibly poor judgment going to live with somebody you never met.
Yeah, I did.
That is incredibly bizarre.
And a certain degree of desperation.
Yes.
And we can hear it in your voice.
Yes, but secondly, in spite of you recovering from alcoholism, and I wonder how dedicated you are to your recovery, how much of a priority to recovery is in your life. Do you still go to meetings on a regular basis? Do you still contact your sponsor regularly?
Well, when I moved out there, I actually got a meeting home group,
okay.
And actually got a sponsor. And the
okay.
funny thing is all the recovery people I met out there who knew about this relationship were
yeah.
shaking their heads at me, going, "What in the hell
yeah.
are you doing?" You know,
right? And that means you weren't practicing a program of recovery. You're marching to your own drum or doing whatever.
Well, okay,
but here's the only way you can change it. It's by maybe doing some codependency recovery, getting an Al-Anon meeting going. Because really, this is all about your codependency and yourself coming from a disrupted, fractured, alcoholic family.
Well, here's what's going on, too, is you're dealing with a troubled person, this 18-year-old. The whole part where she's alluring is the exciting part of the whole thing. Once you come out there and she finds out you're a nice guy,
she can't
it's game
it.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no thrill in it for her, so that's it. You're much too nice a guy. I can hear it in your voice. Nice/needy/desperate. And you're putting the screws to her. What's wrong? What can I do for you? How can I be better? How can we
Let
make
get
this
another
relationship
job.
Work? She can't handle intimacy, and you're trying to force intimacy on her, and therefore it's over.
Yeah, it's not going
to
work.
So you need to move back to whatever state you came from, which was what state?
Start.
Well, I'm back in my home state now.
Okay.
So.
What All state right. did you go to? Florida?
Texas, actually.
Texas.
Oh,
he's on the way there.
All right, and now you're back, and this is water under the bridge. Chalk this up to experience.
Start listening to direction from your peers in recovery and go to some Al-Anon meetings.
Yeah.
There
you go. Your mom must have been an alcoholic or something, right?
Yeah, actually, you're right.
Yeah, okay. So
right.
that's what creates this behavior.
All right, and it's not, and here's an interesting point we got to get into. We got to give everyone a booster shot on this all the time. Guys always say, what's so wrong with being a nice guy? It's not a nice guy. It's a needy guy.
Yeah, right.
And there's a difference between telling someone they look nice and opening a car door and closing it behind them, and somebody who feels like they need some of you on them, and
right.
somebody, like you guys got thrown in a Cuisinart together
right.
and made into the same smoothie.
Right, right.
And when women feel you needing
they
something from
that.
Them, especially ones that have a little difficulty with intimacy, and I'm guessing the 18-year-old who's corresponding with a guy in another state and inviting him out to crash on her sofa has those issues,
mm-hmm.
they freak,
mm-hmm.
and they're out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the nicer you are, the further out they are. But don't think of it as nice. Think of it as needy, and then you can correct it. Because
yeah.
Why should you correct being a nice guy? It's like all these a-holes who go, hey, I'm the kind of person who will tell you what he feels. You know, I'm up front. I'll look in the eye, and I'll speak the truth. A lot of people can't handle that.
No, you're an asshole.
No, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
That's why people don't like it. It's not that we can't handle it. It's just you're colossal a-hole, and we don't want to talk to you. But, again, if you take whatever your foibles are.
It reminds me of Alicia on Survivor.
Yeah.
She's exactly
yeah.
those people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like, I'm just straightforward. I say,
yeah.
hey, whoa, I can't stand you already. Relax. It's too much.
Anybody gives you the speech about the kind of person they are, even if it's that I enjoy wearing a collar but rolling up my sleeves, a-hole, like whatever the guy, you know, sounds like they're like some cologne should be named after them because of you know, they give you that long list of the kind of person they are. I immediately don't like
yeah.
unless it's self-deprecating. Like I'm the kind of guy who likes to nap.
Period. Yes,
and unless you can hang with a guy who's going to be napping a lot. We got nothing
Stay
to talk
away.
About.
That's
yeah,
right.
Because I'll look you in the eye and tell you it's nap time. I'll get in your face and tell you when I'm overdue for a nap.
Let's take another Germany or Florida.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Now, we're on a roll with this early on in the Germany or Florida. And this, Jeff, could be your next hosting gig.
Okay.
Germany or Florida.
I'm
that
down
could be
with
strong.
That.
There's also something I've been working on called paintball karaoke.
So you shoot at people while they're
singing karaoke.
I love that.
And
can we do that on Idol?
Celebrity
paintball karaoke. What determines whether you get shot?
Here's how the game works.
It's like the Gong Show, sort of.
No. Yes. Sort of.
Go.
Here's the deal. You're getting shot at constantly. your job.
So you're diving and jumping behind stuff.
Well, this is it.
And singing.
But the choreography. You see what I'm saying?
You have to carry out some preordained choreographic.
Here's the set. Yeah, let's just say the set. The set could keep changing. I mean, the shooting gallery part.
Sometimes it's Swan Lake.
It could be an old Western bar.
I see. Sometimes it's Oklahoma.
Could be a plywood cactus.
Got it. Okay, yeah, okay.
Stagecoach. It's there. Now, I'm singing my song. The idea is to work my evasive maneuvers into the choreography of the song. So you don't want to get herky-jerky or duck. You want to move. And if you do have to move or change direction, you got to work it in. Plus, now, the super high points for a guy who's hitting the high note, you know, like my way or something, and gets shot in the larynx. Doesn't crack. You know what I mean? That guy
so
gets
taking
points.
A shot and holding the note, it's a good
That's
thing.
But here's the strategy. There's two strategies.
You have to wait to
I
take
could
your
either
shot.
Avoid every shot and pull it off seamlessly, or I could stand there and just take shots and never crack a note.
Yeah, that'd
paintball,
be
karaoke,
and then you have
celebrity
what, three judges
paintball.
That are judging the degree of
They're
difficulty.
They're shooting
or,
and
you bring
judging,
in Paula Abdul and Simon.
This,
right?
And like Ted Nugent, too. Just as people are involved
Burt
with shooting
Bacharach,
stuff.
Burt,
Burt Bacharach, Ted Nugent, Paula Abdul, Duel, and they all just shoot at people while they're singing. First off, it's a
well,
huge...
Well, they do the shooting, too. I see.
You're judging and
shooting.
Oh, they celebrity shooting. Yeah, we've got to work this out. But here's what I always say. Everyone calls me an a-hole, my partners, when I pitch them this. But they go, I always say, who's switching that off? You know, like when you say,
good
next
point.
Up on Celebrity Paintball Karaoke, what are you going, I've had an ass full of this. No, you got to watch this. You got to see who wins. And then there's controversy. People are outraged. It's all over the newspapers. They're picketing. This is huge. And what's this show cost to produce? It's a nickel.
A few bucks.
You gang tape them. You crank them out. You do like five episodes in an afternoon. There's people, you know, like how many people does American Idol get to try to, you get the same idiots. All they do is sign a waiver. It's done. It's paintball karaoke. We could film it at my house. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I want to be a judge. I want to be a shooter.
You'd be a celebrity shooter.
And who do you want to shoot more than somebody who's karaoke?
This is how many times have you been at Dimples over there in Burbank
except
wishing you had a pistol?
There's an interesting piece of this, too. If somebody actually does sing well, you might hold back a little bit. You might
maybe.
Hold your gun up. You know,
you might hear what they have to say.
Yeah, you might delay it, and then
you're still
gonna slowly lower the gun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See what they can take.
There'll also be a speed round where there's pistol whipping. Evolve, where you actually just have charge them, and everyone just physically kicks and beats them with the butt of the rifle.
Mm-hmm. It's good times.
Paintball karaoke. This Drew, come on, please.
What's that? I can name that in six notes. Maybe there might be another beat in there. I can do something in six
name
shots.
That tune. Whatever it is,
paintball,
you're getting shot.
Paintball, name that tune.
Yeah, paintball name. That tune. I always liked on name that tune where it would get down to a note. Like, the guy just hold the second, like, and the guy go, theme to Bridge Over River Kwai. Yes! Like, what the hell? Yeah, they had the live orchestra on that show, Drew. All right, where are we going?
We're going to Germany or Florida.
Oh, yeah, okay, Germany or Florida. That's our way, hold on. Okay. Nate?
Yeah?
You're 18.
Yeah, all right.
What's up?
All right, here we go. There are plans to put together a Christian-sponsored nudist resort, which would include everything from nude volleyball to nude water slides, and probably nude church, too.
Mm-hmm.
Germany or Florida?
Yeah.
Ooh, it's got little elements of both there.
Yeah.
The nice, nudist nice colony Southern does. Baptist quality to it. But then it's...
The nudist part, believe it or not, feels German to me.
The nudist and the frolicking sounds German.
Yeah, they love to frolic. Yeah. It may be a German word.
All right, German. German?
No, I'm going Florida.
Yeah, I'm going Florida.
All right, I'll go with you.
We're going Florida.
Yeah, you're right, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard this story about 2 weeks ago. But that's all right. Jeff didn't. Point is, he's right. All right, we're going to send you out a buff.
Or an animal DVD.
Or an animal DVD.
Okay.
All right, there we go.
All right.
Or my T-shirt with the bullseye on it that says
paintball karaoke.
I did paintball karaoke and all I got was this crappy T-shirt. Yeah.
What about having the pimple poppers just coming through instead of selling cigars? They just pop a pimple?
I'm telling you, that's another show we could do. It's just colossal zit popping and then celebrity zit popping.
Who would turn that off?
I couldn't. You couldn't avert your stare, your gaze. You would have to.
I'm getting nauseated just thinking about
it. I know. It's not nice to think about, but could you turn away from an all-zit popping
channel?
Oh,
yes, I could. Yes,
and
I could.
Imagine that in HD.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
You could?
Yeah, no problem.
Not me. As you know, I'm a self-lancer.
I know you are. I see a lot of good stuff during the day.
Drew doesn't like that. You see enough of that.
Yeah.
You get enough? Do you do any lancing?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Do you have a lance? Is there a special thing you use? It's not just
skin
a pin.
Scalpel.
It's a scalpel?
Yeah.
Regular scalpel?
A skin one.
What's a skin one look like?
They're pointy at the tip.
Oh, so like an X-Acto?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is a boil? We had a guy in Africa, Big Tom, had a boil the size of his neck that they finally lanced.
Just an abscess. It's
But what's in it?
Pus.
I love Big Tom,
just
by the way.
It's just an abscess cavity filled with white cells, inflammatory debris, and bacteria, usually anaerobic bacteria.
It just keeps growing, right?
It keeps growing, yeah. It's an abscess.
Now, how does the, it's like a gazillion survivor questions.
Your body walls it off. That's why it forms, and then it just keeps...
So what kills it? You lance it and then put something.
Yeah, you have to take antibiotics. First, you have to take out all the stuff because it's stuck there. It's in a cavity.
Wow.
And you get it out, then you start using antibiotics. The antibiotics can't get into the cavity. That's part of the problem. So you got to take it out.
All right, I have questions now. Yeah, I have more survivor questions. You have the survivor camp. Obviously, the crew and the film crew and other folks have to be in proximity of the camp. Is their camp? Do they have their own camp, which is right by there? Obviously, they work in shifts, like the cameras, you know,
right.
Go all through the night. Is there cameras there 24 hours, by the way?
And the camera crew has a camp that is outside of the camp the survivors live on. That's not a production crew. We have 300 people that are somewhere else, but the small little two-camera crews and the producers, and they're just off, I don't know, a couple hundred feet, and they'll sleep, you know, they'll sleep, and then some of the APs, our associate producers, will be out there with little, you know, digicams. I mean, so we're shooting them all the time.
Right. And so is there a guy who has that shift from 3 a.m. till sunrise or 12 to sunrise where many nights he's just sitting there watching,
watching
nine people sleep?
No, if we were going to miss something in the middle of the night, would be when you would. Because they don't – if you're all asleep –
They could fall asleep too. Right?
Well, then I don't know if it's that, but they'll just, you know, they may turn the cameras off and just sit there, and then suddenly somebody starts whispering, we might be a beat behind. But for the most part, we don't miss anything. I mean, we're on it pretty damn fast. And those guys our shooters are making editorial decisions themselves.
Right.
An argument starts happening while a conversation's going on over here, and they've got to figure out who do I cover and which is going to be the story. And so there's a lot of autonomy. A lot of people just working on their own, making calls.
And by the way, cameraman, guys never get credit. I've worked with cameramen who, you know, shooting in New Orleans on Bourbon Street. They got a 60-pound camera on their shoulder, and they're just running after you, filming. People are pissing them. People are shoving them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a real sort of lumberjack kind of job that people don't really, if you're doing a good job, they don't even know there's a camera there. I mean, when you're at home. Watch, well, these are studs.
Think about on Survivor, all the bug bites they get on those beaches.
Oh.
Our cameramen have the same bug bites.
Do the camera guys develop some sort of relationship with the people they're filming, or do they have to figure out a way to be non-entities?
In theory, they don't talk to them. They do not talk to
them. Are they not allowed
to
speak?
Right.
Not allowed to speak.
And in theory, you shouldn't have a relationship. It's impossible.
Right.
Yeah.
You're human, you're there.
Yeah. And you're seeing these people sometimes at very low points when they're giving you an interview and they're saying, you know, we have some people this season. There's a couple of times where a couple of people say, I want out of here. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. So you see them at this low point, and I think the survivors develop a relationship with the camera person, an intimacy that's kind of odd because they don't really ever speak to each other.
Yeah. It'd be easy to fall in love with one of your subjects too if you're a cameraman and they're prancing around naked and they're...
Well, also I'm surprised there's not more romantic relationship in these very intense situations. People get thrust into those situations and that's almost a natural kind of an instinct to get involved with
someone. And after the show there is.
After the show
they
get involved.
I think it's hard within the show
because of what's at stake.
What's at stake? Yeah, and the fact that you're so in the show, you can't ever stop. The one thing the survivors will tell you is the hardest part is you never stop thinking, is Adam my friend or not? Mm. Is he screwing? Who's he? Why is he talking to Drew? What's going on? 24/7 for 39 days.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards, though, we have these little finale parties.
Oh, man.
It's, man, it is sexual.
Booze is going around.
Boom. Just combustion. Yeah.
Plus, the ladies, they don't trim down there, so the guys are a little freaked out
by
week three.
That, yeah.
Yeah. I really do think there's an element. Like, you would think everyone would just be humping the bejesus out of each other, but I'm telling you, women, if they don't feel fresh, aren't into it oftentimes.
Yeah, I think it's the women, because all the guys will tell you, you know what? You're not thinking about sex. Let me tell you, if there was a woman out there who wanted to give you sex or please you, you're going to be fine
with
it.
Of course. Yeah.
Speaking of which.
We got to take a break. What's going on? The camera crew's got their own camp. They're nearish by.
Right.
They're on, you know, they're 24/7. Your headquarters for all the... All the many people that work on the show is usually what distance away?
It depends where we're at.
Right.
You know, in Panama, we're on our own island, just a huge island.
And did you guys just come in there like it's...
Is that where this stuff is?
You become like the, you know, Army Corps of Engineers. You just set up, you bivouac, you make a big community.
Well, this place was already existed. There was almost like a third world. It seemed like a drug laundering sort of resort that hadn't been tended to in a long time. But in Africa, for instance, everybody's in tents. It's completely flat. So we were miles and miles away because they would see us or hear us if we were close.
Huh. Right.
So, but we had our own tent city where we just built 400 tents and we brought porta potties and porta showers. And
what did I tell you? What an opportunity to travel and see the world in these great locations.
Yeah. How big are the medical teams you bring? That's the thing I keep thinking. It's just this. It's a huge, huge exposure to things.
Yeah, doctors, three paramedics, three nurses.
I mean, tropical illnesses are bad times.
Well, most of our action for the doctors comes from the crew.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of injuries and In Thailand, we had these bugs that would bite you and then burrow and they started excavating them, and the bug is in there. And there are these, like, alien-looking creatures.
Yes, yes, they're worms and stuff.
Ah, it's amazing.
They form huge boils.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the boil is big, and then you dig down 2 inches.
You have to get down there, yeah.
Oh, see, this is I would freak. I would freak on that part. And
but see, the point is that that's the easy stuff. There's horrible stuff people can get in those tropical areas.
Yeah. Well, and you know what else happens is locals discover we're there.
Uh-oh.
Like in the Amazon, there was a kid who accidentally got shot in the face with a shotgun, blew his eye completely out, but he would have died. And this boat paddles up, and they know there are some big group of people here.
Uh-oh.
And our doctors go down and, you know, take care of him and fly him in. We get him on our helicopter, we fly him into town. And,
yeah.
Incredible. That's
not going to happen in paintball karaoke, by the way.
No.
It could.
Just so people
die. Great if it did.
That's ratings. And then they sign the waiver. All right. Jeff Probst is here from Survivor. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeff Probst is here tonight from Survivor.
Contributing so much.
Drew, well... We can screw with kids all we want. The point is you're here giving us the inside dirt, the skinny, and telling us what's going on behind the scenes. And
I'm saying this, Adam.
Yes.
Killer episodes. Not this week, but this week is good.
Right.
But week three.
Watch out.
And week six.
Stuff.
Oh, really?
A week three and week six. Okay. I'm going to watch all of them anyway, but I'm going to do my Survivor dance. Oh, hey, ho. But
special dances on 3 and 6.
Yeah, because I think it's something that Jeff was alluding to is that there's some love found in upcoming episodes, which was
he also did some crazy escos
and crazy stuff, which is good because it is as compelling as the show is. There's really not that much in the love affair department, in the physical confrontation department. I mean, there's some shouting matches and stuff. You would assume that guys would be kicking the S out of people, and there might be a rape or two.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's right.
Be nice.
I don't know why there hasn't been a fight.
Yeah, I mean, they're really, you know, first off, anyone who follows movies at all knows that when people get in these stressful situations, like in Red Dawn, when the Russian paratroopers landed, even the best friends, they go up the hills, they start into that. Hey, man, you blah, 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 Yeah, they do this one. You're not the captain of the team anymore, okay, man? And then they start fighting.
But these guys know they're going to have to watch this, their behavior, and they're playing a game. They want to make sure they're not eliminated for some reason.
If you hit somebody, you're out. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
There's only two rules. You cannot hit somebody, and you can't conspire to share the money.
But you can rape. You can rape. That's okay.
That appears to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you got in on a rape technicality. But you would think, and again, this is it's amazing that the show's incredibly compelling, really just within the parameters of the show. Like many shows are like, well, here's what we say the show's going to be, but it turns out in a, you know, real world, we say it's about young people. It just turns into a big hump fest and everyone yelling at each other, and that becomes the show. And then the real worlds that don't have that are the boring ones. Yeah. This doesn't need it. I mean, this is sort of, it's a difference between hockey and football. You know, no fights in hockey, that's a crappy hockey game.
Right, right.
Football, no fights, no penalties, fine.
Good game. Yeah.
Good game. Thank you, Drew.
There you go.
All right, buddy.
Linnea?
Linnea?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was calling because every time I give my boyfriend a blowjob, mm-hmm. I kind of throw up.
Kind of throw up?
Mm-hmm.
Gag or throw up?
Throw up.
And mm-hmm. at what point in the...
When he ejaculates.
Oh, all right. So he's not concerned about it. That's another thing I could use that survivor buff for.
What does the guy do when she's vomiting mid-ejaculation?
Yeah, that would bother me.
Hold on one second.
We got to change here. To me, it's like... Now we're moving to we're doing this in the shower now. You know, that's me. I got to stand up.
Basically.
I got to hang on to a towel bar.
What, Linnea?
Basically, yeah, in the shower.
That's what you do now. I know you love your boyfriend very much, but this is showing an awful lot of commitment. Why don't you not do the part of the action that makes you vomit?
I think it's, I don't really know why I do.
Well, the thought makes me want to vomit, so, you know, we can understand.
Well, I also was forced to give a guy a blowjob about 6 months ago.
Forced? In a rape or something?
Yeah.
Why don't you stop this behavior altogether?
No, Drew, it wasn't a rape. It was a beautiful, consensual, lovemaking act where he forced her to give her a BJ. Of course it's rape.
Well, I don't know if it was a boyfriend, you know, sort of beat her down to the point where she gave in to something she didn't want to do,
or was it actually my boyfriend.
Some guy that held her at gunpoint. I mean, I don't know what the situation is.
Well, here's the deal with Linnea, if that, in fact, is her name. There's something going on with her.
Yeah.
Issues. I can hear her voice.
I know. She's reenacting the trauma over and over again and having this huge reaction to it every time.
Yeah, but you tapped into her voice. Did you tap into her voice?
A little bit.
Not so much in the little girl voice, but just...
Recent trauma, yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but there's something going on with her. Yeah. And as unfortunate as this sounds... And it really sounds horrible, but the women that become rape victims, and not all of them, but the ones that call this show, certainly, and I'm starting to think a greater portion of victims in society that become victims as adults were victimized
in some way at a younger age.
Yeah, and it's not just some way. It's usually sort of correlated to the sexual victimization that takes place as an adult. Linnea?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like growing up? Everything good?
I was molested when I was 6 years old, and I was raped by my dad when I was 13.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
So any sex would have very, very heavy feelings associated with it.
Not with my boyfriend. That's the thing.
Other than the
only
vomiting
the
part. Only the vomiting part, yes.
You hear a voice to this?
Yeah, it is a funny lilt to it.
It's sexually abused at six.
Yeah. Look, well, she knows that's what happened. But why don't you stop doing the blowjobs? It's not
true. Please.
I know it's, but it's a very, very powerfully unpleasant for her.
Yeah. How about that, Linnea?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, your dad sexually abused you? Did he say?
He
raped you. And who did this? That was at 13 or something.
And why do you put that under the category of rape as opposed to sexual abuse?
Because I had sex with him.
Say it again.
I was 13.
He what?
He had sex with me when I was 13.
We would call that sexual abuse.
All right,
I was
but
too.
Let's not argue over semantics here.
Did he threaten harm to you?
Huh?
Did he threaten bodily harm? That sort of thing.
Okay. Where's your dad now? By the way, it'd be nice if he was dead.
Where is he?
He's in Oregon.
He's in Oregon.
Yeah.
What's he do? Work around metal? Drive a forklift? What's he do?
Well, he's a drug addict.
Oh, okay. That's perfect. All right, so listen, Linnea.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was the 6 months ago?
The rape? Or forced
to be? I met some guy online, and he forced me to give him a blowjob.
But you see that she just reenacts these traumas over and over and over again. Stop, Linnea. Please get some treatment. Please.
Can you get treatment?
Yeah.
Okay.
But why don't you do that? Okay, listen to me. I'm a genius. You understand that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you people don't need to be smart. You just need to be smart enough to understand I'm a genius.
Just to follow
your directions. And I'm never wrong. Drew, am I ever wrong?
Never.
Except for about the tainted water thing, which is merely speculation.
Yeah, but it's going to be right because he's going to create a show around that.
And he will eventually
make me right. He wished he had done it.
Right. Like something that doesn't exist but gets invented at some point, making me right. Linnea, here's the thing. You are horribly victimized by your father.
And whoever else.
And the worst part of this crime is the legacy. You continue to act it out.
Yeah, you continue to recreate that trauma in all of your relationships.
And this will not be the first or last time you're victimized, raped, or forced to do something you don't want to do sexually. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a life for you. Your dad got you started in going down this path, and it's a path you will continue to go down, unfortunately. I don't know what that is in the human mind that compels people to do that, but we've been here long enough to understand that it's almost a given that this happens, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so
that's how the humans.
You gotta get some therapy. Yep. You gotta straighten this out.
That's it.
I don't necessarily trust the guy you're with either.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Of course not.
All right.
Here we go.
And the dad, I hope he just shoots himself up with a bad rig or something. The kind of like, I think it's a good idea to bang my daughter thing as a human being just means you need to die. It just there's not enough room. We don't have enough time to sort this out. We can't fix everything. And by the way, could you be more broken than humping your own daughter?
Especially at 13.
Yeah, with 13 and then, I don't know, at 60. Just, you got to go. Yeah. And just have some dignity and kill yourself, please. All of you.
Where do you figure her mom is in this?
Her mom was raped. Her mom was victimized.
Mom was victimized too with sexual abuse in her childhood and probably also a drug addict.
Yeah. Now, see, Linnea over here, God willing, will crank out a couple of kids, not getting any help, and find out that the guy who she decided to start the family with
sexually
abusing her kids.
Yeah,
this
that's how that works.
That always works this way. All right. And this is why we've got to get a little intervention. Thank God we have the government focusing on this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all they think about.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Jeff Probst here tonight from Survivor, and we'll be right back after that. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jeff Probst on here tonight from Survivor. All right, week 3 and week 6. Look out. And
in order to really appreciate him, you have to watch every week in between, too.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
Oh, listen, the worst Survivor episode still better than the best episode of your second favorite show.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about Survivor.
Is that good?
Is the, yes.
That made sense.
Sure. Only thing I don't like Survivor is the S it spawned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other bad knockoff shows.
Yeah. It did give birth to some real ugly.
Yes.
Babies.
It was the first one through the door in the reality TV department and, yeah, it's all been downhill since then. Although I have enjoyed Surreal Life. Even though it really has no rhyme or reason, I'm attracted to that show. And Jerry Manthey was on Surreal Life.
The first one, yeah.
Last season.
And they did a good job casting it this time, and they're telling good stories.
Yeah, it has zero object other than it's sort of like a Twinkie, which is it's not good. It's what it is.
It's a Twinkie. Yeah.
It's a Twinkie. Yeah. Yeah. McDonald's is sort of like that. Actually, most things are starting to become that way. But that's what it is. But the Survivor. Now that is a pineapple upside down cake.
Jeremy 20.
Which they don't get their due. The pineapple upside down cake.
No, they're not good.
Oh no, they're good. Oh, Drew, now wait a minute.
It's a pound cake with pineapple stuck on it.
What's wrong with that?
It's got a spot, though, in karaoke paintball. Definitely a pineapple upside down cake.
Yeah.
Jeremy, what's up?
I just had a quick question. My girlfriend always asks me why I like to go down on her.
And I just, the only thing I tell her is just, I don't know. I just do it, you know, and I just wondering if you had an explanation.
Well, you like to give her pleasure.
I think that's mostly
that's
why.
That's my life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
really?
What I say.
Guys are invested in being sure that a woman has a good experience.
You think that's all that is?
Not all, but I think that's a big, big part of it. I think it's a big part. For guys that really like doing it and stuff, there are some guys that get a oral gratification out of it, too. They just they like that whole the whole quality of the relationship in that mode.
Well, some guys are they're sort of like, like certain dogs dig?
Mm-hmm.
Certain guys dig.
Right.
Like the burrowers. You know, I've never been one of these guys, but I've hung out with a few guys. I like to get in there.
Yeah.
That's the two-hand oral sex, where it's like you got the tongue, you got the hands going. It becomes a, you know,
an
gynecological.
Excavation. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of, I imagine the exam they give you at like a Mexican airport when they pull you aside. Like they want to make sure. And by the way, I always think of keistering stuff when I'm thinking about Survivor. I think I would have keistered some flint.
Yeah.
I would have keistered like some fruit roll-ups. I would have got some stuff in there, you know, through
it's the only place we really don't check.
I would have done that.
Would that have been all-star move or illegal?
Would have been, you know, it depends what you
I'd
probably
put some
keister.
Matches, no problem. Yeah.
Like, listen, everybody, good news and bad news. I have 11 mini Snickers bars. Okay, wait.
Hear me out.
Don't stop celebrating. Now the bad news. I did not bring them. I did. Well, yeah. No. Well, when you say fanny pack. Now, that was interesting.
Both words are involved.
That's right. warmer, you're on fire, but not quite. Yeah. Yeah. And I bet at a certain point there would still be passed around. But I did.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought about you got to keister some flint. That's what I was saying. Got to get some fire
going.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking, too. I asked my wife that, why someone didn't do that.
Keister Zippo?
Or even, there are other orifices. Ladies have extra orifices and things. You can put some stuff in there. And,
mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I would. I'd do one of those long lighters that you use to do the fireplace and these extendo one. There's something I'm enamored with those. It's like, look, the flame comes out 5 inches from where your fingers. Wow. Look at that, everybody.
Costco 3-pack.
I could start a fire from 5 inches away. Yes, you could. Wow. Yeah, that's the one I would keister. That and even just a magnifying glass.
That's what I thought.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. All right. Let's.
It's one of those little ones you get through in the little bubbles and the gumball machines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be enough maybe to start a fire.
That's right.
Mike?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah. I have kind of like two questions that go with the same problem. I'm an actor, well, a struggling actor, I guess, is a cliche in California. But my career is starting to take flight. And I'm not having a lot of time to spend with my girlfriend anymore. I'm on set between 5 to 6 days a week, working 17-hour days. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't see me a lot. And,
first off, that's a pretty demanding schedule for gay porn.
If you're not doing a television series, you're doing a movie or something, it's going to end in a few weeks.
No. It's TV series. I'm on the OC regularly.
On the OC.
Yeah, it's not adult porn or anything like that.
Yeah, well, arguably. Sort of, yeah.
All right. So you're in 17-hour days on the set, and what?
But 12-hour those are sitting on. Speaking of keister.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why can't she come visit you there?
So, and you're what are you like a background beach guy number 9 or which one
pretty,
are you?
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm a high school student, and I'm on the soccer team.
All right. That's a cush gig, by the way.
Why don't you have her visit you on the set? What do you?
Or does he want to?
I've had her come to set before on certain sets where they have like the live studio audience, but most of the time it's a closed set, so she's not allowed.
You don't have a trailer?
No, I'm not that glorified.
No, they just have the
we have like a holding tank, and they throw bagels out of it.
It's called craft service. It's a folding. Your place is by the peanut M&Ms. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Well, this sounds like the guy that's. This is a good out. I mean, now I've made it. You know, I've got other options out there. I'm hanging out on.
That's kind of what I was thinking. He was up to. He's sort of done with the relationship.
I just kind of got the feeling he wanted to talk and brag about the fact that he's doing it the way they do it in the OC. Yeah.
I think he's concerned. I think he's more done than he realizes with this relationship. And if he can't find a way to carve out a little time to spend with her, it sort of shows how uncommitted you are to the relationship. Your girlfriend's sensing that, and she's right. You know, you got to put a little priority. You got to choose your priorities, and you've made your choice, and that's that. This relationship may not survive it.
Right.
And that's fine. You're 21. That's all right.
Yeah, you move on. Beth?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yes.
You, your boyfriend just got out of the psych ward?
Well, he's not really my boyfriend. I met him just a few days ago, and like an idiot, I brought him home. Mm-hmm. And we started talking, and he told me that he got out of the psych ward, and he was in there for trying to commit suicide.
Yeah. We got to get going here, so what's the question?
I need to know, how should I word it when I break up with him?
Is he living with you?
No.
All right, that's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just
you need to break up with him.
Yeah, it's not working.
But you're worried that because he just tried to commit suicide, he's going to be upset again?
Yeah. He's 21. He doesn't have a job. He's a very weird guy.
He may or may not be upset. He may or may not get depressed again when you tell him this.
Yeah.
If he starts threatening suicide, take it very seriously. Call appropriate authorities. Contact the team that's treating him. It's not you can't be responsible for his well-being.
We can use my line, Drew, which is it's not you, it's me. I don't like you.
Or in her case, I think you're weird.
Yeah.
You're a weird
all
guy.
All right, poor Sarah's been on hold for 130 minutes, which is a new Loveline record, is it not, Drew?
I believe it is.
Sarah.
Yeah.
We're going to send you out a buff, but we're out of show.
And
we're
she's in Kansas, too.
Oh,
Jeff instead.
Jeff's home state. Sarah.
Yes.
Oh, God bless you. 130 minutes, not an hour and a half.
I know. Why don't you guys take her phone number and call her back? We'll take her first thing tomorrow night.
Really? Sorry. Are you done?
Sorry,
we're out
all.
Of time.
Yeah,
we'd like to. We'll spend some time with you tomorrow. Do you hear me, Anderson?
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
All right. I kept wanting to go and talk to you. Jeff said no.
And she'll be one of the first five. Himself. She'll get a DVD tomorrow.
I love listening to you guys, and I was just sitting here listening. So.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's like a radio that you push up against your face for 2.5 hours. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. Where does the time go? All these weeks looking forward to Jeff coming into the studio, and it's pow.
Pow.
It's a blink of an eye. Gone. Jeff, a delight.
Likewise.
Had a great time.
Had a blast in here.
You can you live in town, right?
Yeah.
You can come back anytime you like.
Right on. I will take you up on that.
Survivor, Thursday nights. Last week. Yeah. Thursday nights at 8 o'clock on CBS. My favorite show. And look out for big number 3 and big number 6.
It scares me.
But you got to watch the ones in between, otherwise it won't make any sense.
What did you say? I'm going to cry number 5?
3, you're going to cry. 6, you're going to go, what the hell just happened?
Oh, my God.
That's great. And everyone, I'll do my dance.
I got to come to your house Thursday night.
All right, so until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.